Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars, Night Lily, The Lover's Tale by Barbara Hambly.
Sand pearls, lovely sand pearls.
Oh.
Look, mixed with genuine sun-stained blue glass from the Dune Sea.
Hey, Norva, take a look at these things. The pearls match your eyes.
You know you're right, and the blue glass matches my vine silk tabard.
Sorry, my mistake. These aren't for sale today. In fact, nothing is for sale and must get out of here.
Hey, why is she leaving?
No permit, most likely. Come on, let's go. We don't want to tangle with the Empire either.
That Duro again. Sly little thing. I'll catch her next time. My name is Travag. Feltapern Travag. Officer of the Empire. I work for the city prefect of Mos Eisley. It is my responsibility, duty, to collect taxes and imposts from those who live and pass through this miserable spaceport. It amuses me no end to sense the flurry of activity that precedes me as I stroll through the marketplace on my way to the office.
Tax assessor Travag, how good to
Travag,
see you.
Travag, sir.
When the miscreants see me coming, they put their better wares away and pretend they're just selling Bantha burgers and drink. Or like the DeRozian, they scamper. Despite the emanations of contempt that pave my way, I take my charge very seriously and never waver. Except, of course, when overlooking a minor infraction could result in a significant amount of unearned income credits for me. I make up for the Empire's loss with the others, those whom I can tell are hopelessly disinclined to show consideration for my wisdom and my station. Oh, that DeRozian. I can sense her hostility from meters away. Must bring her in for an audit. Which way did she go? I think these fools would learn to control their thoughts. What do they think my cones are for, anyway? The ruder the thought, the harsher the fine, I always say.
Potion, sir. Love potion for your lady friend. Go from friends to lovers before you can say space.
Why, madam, with cones like these, what do I need with your chemical elixirs?
What's this? There's a strange buzzing in my cones. I haven't felt anything like it since the early days of the Empire, when the Jedi were being destroyed. I was a youngster then, but I'd been told about the strange force the Jedi wielded, some kind of magic that set them apart from others. I haven't felt it since, but here it is. A jewel in the dirt. An unforgettable perfume, once scented and never forgotten. Close by, a Jedi. And from the strength of the buzzing that fills my head, it's someone who is very strong in the Force.
Good afternoon, Assessor Travag.
Stormtrooper.
Officer Balu said we'd find you in the market.
Efficient of you.
Actually, sir, we're on special assignment for Officer Balu.
Yes, but please don't tell him we said anything. It's highly confidential, sir.
Nothing to worry about, gentlemen. See you back in the office, eh?
Goodbye, sir, and thanks.
Don't mention it.
Wonder what my friend and colleague Balu is up to. The sooner I get to the office, the sooner I'll find out. But first, there's a delicious prospect dangling before me. Somewhere in this market, there's a Jedi, and the bounty on his head is high.
Special
One front of the bottle.
Really? Want to get rid of that, don't you?
How'd you guess?
Well, that's pretty cheap. Give me a stick.
Midday feeding time. The harsh sizzle of much-used fritter grease swirls from 100 food stands, wherever some enterprising Jawa or Whippet can find room to set up a solar power stove.
Hey, you're not going to turn me in, are you?
Hey, stop cutting in line. Turning
the... The throng at the marketplace is vying for room at the grimy little stands, scarfing down kebabs of something billed as grilled bantha that's probably womp rat. What a motley collection, these mouse-sized little scavengers. Yet one thing ties them together. Credits. The pursuit of lucre motivates every species that recognizes a monetary system. It certainly motivated me when I accepted this job. However, what seemed to me an opportunity to acquire vast quantities of credits has turned into little more than a clerical stint for the Empire. There's really not much profit to be squeezed from the small-time peddlers and various scam runners of Mos Eisley. Still, I have a measure of power here, more than I ever had as a bounty hunter. The irony, though, is that it's my hunting instincts that may yet secure me an enormous windfall, enough for a vacation berth among the casinos of Bespin. Wait, there's that odd vibration again. Seems to be coming from Pilocam's health food booth. Could be photosynthetic radiation from all the green stuff, though. For once, Pilocam has a customer. An old gray-bearded human dressed in a dusty brown cloak. The Jedi.
Tax Assessor Trevag, so good to see you.
Resist the urge to barge through as usual. Approaching quietly now, weaving through the crowd. Pilocam's oblivious, lost in an old spicer's haze. Ah, the man's seen me! He knows I'm hunting him! Those eyes! Those strange blue eyes! Of course, now that the stormtroopers might actually be of assistance, they're nowhere to be seen!
Out of my way!
Let me through! I can't see fiery stars! Too late. The Jedi is gone.
Ah, Assessor Trevag. Good to see you, sir, as always.
Where did your one customer of the day go?
May I interest you in some steamed griddle squash?
Answer the question.
I would, if I could,
where,
sir?
Next? The docking bays. If the Jedi is just visiting the planet, he'll soon be boarding one of the space yachts headed out.
Pilocam, I'll take my leave of you, but before I go, I must say you irritate me. And I don't see how you survive, but I do see that you pay little in taxes.
Yes, sir, but I do pay my taxes in full, most assuredly so.
I'll see that you continue to.
Good day, sir.
Thanks for the look at the logs, Captain Hossel.
Don't mention it. Catch any tax shirkers?
Not a one, unfortunately. It's a bad day for trawling, apparently.
Better luck next time.
You mind if I just sit here by the desk and watch as the passengers go through the gate?
Not at all, Assessor Trevag.
I spent a couple of days at the spaceport looking into the face of every passing human, but never once saw the strange, pale blue eyes of the Jedi. Over the following 2 weeks, I roved every corner of Mos Eisley in my search, but I never sensed the buzzing again, nor did I find any clues to the Jedi's whereabouts. I questioned Pilocam, but spice clouds have been carpeting his mind for years now, so that got me nowhere. I concluded that the Jedi must live on Tatooine, only not in town. The man must come into Mos Eisley to buy food and supplies in the marketplace, which means that he will be back. I am a hunter. I will wait. And while I wait, I'll see if I can't amuse myself somehow.
Please, you can't just shut off our water!
One standard time part, please. I'm checking your records.
Madam, I am most sorry you haven't paid your water tax, so your water line will be shut off.
But you don't...
There's nothing I can do. I don't make the rules around here.
But what will we do?
Actually, I did make this one. Well, at least I made the suggestion to the city prefect that he raise the water tax 25%. But it really doesn't matter, because this Modbreck female probably wouldn't even have been able to come up with the original tax.
Think of me!
These Modbrecks. Semi-sentient, wispy, ephemeral beings, hairless as slugs, save for the grotesque blue manes on their undeveloped heads. With their huge eyes and tiny noses and mouths and pointy, pale faces. Ugh! To put it kindly, they're absolutely repulsive. Pity. I could use a little aimless titillation. But the female keeps whining at me as if I were the cause of her problems. Her anxiety and screeching voice make my cones ache.
Please! Can't you give us a month more? Oh, we'll be able to raise the money. I know we can.
Madam, I'm not your father, and I'm not a charity worker. And if you knew you couldn't pay your water imposts, which I assume you did know, since you've been in arrears for 2 months, and neither you nor your daughters have troubled to find decent-paying work, you should have gone to your family or some charity organization before this.
But I've found a job. I have. I'm going to be a tunic checker at Lady Fowl's. They tip well there. Just a few more weeks, until my credits come in.
Please. You must have some decency in you. Would you cut off the water to your own mother and sisters if they were in a similar predicament?
That's quite enough. My mother would not have gotten herself into this mess in the first place. She raised us within her means and didn't squander what she didn't have.
Yes, sir.
Would you send in Deputy Siret?
Oh, please, you can't. We'll lose our dwelling. Oh, and my baby.
I'll do anything. Please.
You should have done anything before now. It's too late. My hands are tied. Next time you'll know better.
Yes, sir?
Deputy, please escort these three from my office.
Yes, sir. May I escort you out, miss?
Oh, thank you, officer. You're most kind.
Not at all. And, ma'am, let me get your bag.
No.
Your arms full. Like this.
By the twin sons, those Modbrecks make my cones ache. And Deputy Sirid pitied them and found them attractive. Ah! I'll never understand how humans even desire each other, much less those of the insubstantial species. Wan, squishy, and flabby, they lack both the Gotal ability to transmit a range of emotional waves and the contrast between strength and weakness so necessary to pleasure. How could anyone consider having anything to do with them at all? Having made a supreme effort to put the Modbreck's distress out of my mind, I'll just see now if I can't reap the benefits of their despair. There's money to be made with the right contacts and some skillful negotiation. Let's see. What was that computer message code?
You couldn't have let her have another month?
She's already had two. Water is expensive to import, Baloo. It's just not sound ecological practice.
The message I've been waiting for. Pilocam 1130. Committed to memory and wiped.
So, Travag, making life difficult for hapless tax delinquents again?
Doing nothing that they haven't brought up.
I recognized Officer Baloo's aura before he even came into the room. The human exudes smoky darkness, weariness, and disgust baked into his being by the twin sons of Tatooine. He fancies himself an adept lawman, but his hunting instincts have long been blunted. These days his shoulders slope in his dark blue uniform, and the pitiful stubble on his chin that humans call a beard is shot through with gray. Perhaps grappling constantly with the struggles of the beings who come to Tatooine has turned his sense of duty to the Empire into something different, something that resembles compassion. Sometimes it seems like we're better suited to each other's profession, but I can't give up the easy credits this job offers me just to indulge my love for the hunt.
Sure, Now, what about that Modbrek female?
Be ready with your deputy to close the water lines to her compound tomorrow.
And you're well aware that she and her daughters will be homeless within a few days?
I'm going out. I should be back within the hour.
Like I said, Trevag, you're all heart.
Balu's tracking my every move again. I hate that. He clenches his jaw, fixing his beady black eyes on my back whenever I go out the door. His contempt for me hangs in the air like a foul smell. I like him less and less all the time, and he may regret that one day.
I know I'm watching you, Trevag. But guess what? I'm an old Sabacc player, and I got a couple of skifters up my sleeve.
Ah, the wind's picked up. Hope we're not in for a bad sandstorm. Walking through the marketplace of Mos Eisley means nothing to a used-up functionary like Balu, but it stirs the hunter in my blood. The air of danger here, the edginess, the watchfulness. Sometimes I think I'll pack in the Imperial service and go back on the hunt. The overlapping senses of the various species soak my cones and turn my head like drugged wine. Takes me back to my years on the space lanes, as a bounty hunter, an Imperial bodyguard, and an officer of ship security, where I saw all manner of species. I must admit, as stimulating as I find their various auras, I have little more than contempt for most of them. Humans are especially amusing. I know that they have other types of sensory organs, but they look so silly, so ineffectual without head cones. Head cones are marvels of the universe. Through their sensory vibrations, I can track anyone down. Now I know, and every goat all knows, that the size of the cones doesn't affect one's prowess, but on Antar 4, where I come from, those cursed with undeveloped cones frequently resort to falsies. It's sad, but true. I'll have you know that no one ever suggested I wear them. When I was young, I was the envy of my herd members, and the females flocked around me, I can tell you.
Desert flowers. Dry desert flowers. 10 credits in arrangement. Decorate your bower.
Oh, no! Help! Everything's scattering!
Look at how that Ho-Din's lovely head appendages oscillate when she runs. Puts me in mind of some cones I have known. I could teach the little flower seller a few things, but she'd probably turn up her pert nose at an Empire drone like me. Space! I must go on the hunt again. And yet, although I haven't made a fortune on this double-burned rock of a planet, I've made a little. My green Yulra suede jacket is new. My trousers are tailored. Most of those around me are in cast-offs or shabby desert gear, or less. Perhaps she... Suddenly, I'm not in the wooing mood. How those Sullustans can find that Gamorrean belly dancer attractive is beyond me. Quite turns my stomachs. Enough of this. I've another Sullustan waiting for me, Jub Vegnu. The key to what might potentially be a highly lucrative opportunity. Jub Vegnu is Jabba the Hutt's go-between. He's so obese that he'd have made a good hut himself if he'd had the right mother. Ah, there he is. Hard to miss. Right by Pilocam's health food booth, just as I instructed him. Oh, eating a caramelized pneb. Look at that juice running down what he probably calls a chin. Pilocam would never offer pnebs at his booth, which is why he has no business. Most convenient for me, actually. It's an excellent rendezvous for my most clandestine meetings.
Hello, Vegnu. I need to set up a go-between and a loan deal. Immediate takeover in 3 days, complete secrecy from everyone. 10% to Jabba of all subsequent take.
Who's the prospect?
A widowed Modbrek. Her water's being cut off and she'll be forced to sell.
I'll run a check with my associates.
No, I mean complete secrecy. If the prefect finds out first, he'll outbid me.
It'll cost you. How about throwing in another 4 points?
Well, at that rate, it'll take me a year to make back my investment.
My heart bleeds for you, my friend.
All right, 14%.
Is that it, then?
No, that's not quite all. I will need a go-between on another deal.
For what?
I can't say what. Not yet. But I need someone to act for me in a situation where, as an employee of the Imperial government, I would be expected to perform in a certain way as part of my duties.
Ah, but a civilian performing the same task would be rewarded.
Munificently rewarded. And it's a task well within, say, your capabilities.
How much?
20%.
Yeah.
25. And that 5 is for secrecy, for absolute secrecy at the time.
About you?
About me, and about the nature of the task.
Trevag, when money's involved, I'm as silent as space.
Good. I'll be in contact soon.
About the nature of the task. What an easy way to say it. That is, after all, the delicate thing about this deal. It'll be simple, really. Informing the Imperial Moff about someone he's been looking for a long time. The rewards will be great, far greater than Vegnu can imagine. After all, it's not everyone who can hunt down and catch a Jedi Master. Ah, the relative comfort of the prefecture. That street's always a blast furnace at noonday. The solar deflectors on the roof should keep working for most of the afternoon before the suns get to them. If it weren't for this mess, the data disks jamming into the shelves, all that old yellow hard copy in the storage boxes stacked up over there. If it weren't for the atmosphere, which stinks of defeat, of grimy hopes and petty spites, it would be pleasant to come out of the heat into these offices. It's only so long. Only so long that I'll have to put up with this place. Just until I trap the Jedi. And then...
Just showed a lady to a seat in your office. She came to see you.
For what?
I'm not a recording droid, Trevag. Why don't you ask her yourself?
Yet another tedious female. Odd. Somewhat wonderful vibrations, though. Let's see who's here. An aura like a new-blown pink tila blossom. Innocence and unself-conscious pure beauty. I feel quite lightheaded. It's as though I feel it through my skin, some kind of milky warmth. Who is this delightful creature under the mysterious white veil? We shall see. She's lifting it up.
Hello.
Hello, miss. Welcome to Tatooine. Would you permit me a look at your passport?
Certainly, sir.
Well, what is this female species? Skin as blue-gray as the desert's final twilight. Molded over a proud jut of cheekbones that any woman of Antar would kill to possess. Triple rows of bones blended into the fragile ridges of her chin, framing her eyes and the graceful curve of her proboscis, which rivals those of the Cubas or the Rhodians. Oh, how striking! Wide eyes as green as grass, fringed with ferny lashes, peering out timidly from beneath a deep splendor of brow ridge, like the eyes of a rock tabit too frightened to flee a hunter's step. But above the brows, the best. Under that veil, on her delectable skull, she has 4 perfectly shaped, exquisite conelets. Their budding smallness, their firm smoothness. Oh, so inviting. They cry out for the touch of my hand, the breath of my lips. I want her. Badly.
Sir, you must help me. They said I should come to you.
I'm lost.
Anything Anything in my power to assist you, miss. What seems to be the trouble?
I've been put ashore. They said there was something wrong with my papers. There was a passage tax.
The passage tax. Just a little something new I dreamed up recently. Seemed like a good idea at the time. And if this meeting is the result, it certainly was.
I had to budget very closely in order to visit my sister, Ancona. My family's not wealthy. Now I've lost my seat on the Tell of Our Lady, but if I pay the passage tax, I won't even have enough to return to my mother on Hanemthi.
My dear Miss...
Mium Oneth. The Mium is a white flower that blossoms in the season of Trine, the season when all three moons give their light. It's also called the Night Lily.
And I am Feltapern Trevag, officer of the Empire. My dear Miss Oneth, it grieves me to be unable to assist you in finding quarters. This city is not a savory one, and a female person of your obvious delicacy makes a most attractive target for people of dubious moral character, whose mendacity may not be sensed by your magnificent cones, if I may be so indelicate as to mention them.
These? I'm afraid they're totally non-functional, sir. Merely decorative, unfortunately. Is, vestal... vestigial the right word?
We'll say no more about it, miss. But in that case, it is incumbent upon me to do all that I can for you. The right word to the key person in authority at the spaceport, and I may yet secure your passage. I shall return within moments.
I couldn't wait to return, and yet I didn't want her to leave my life, not until we had...
Oh, Baloo. Well, I should have known you'd be hovering outside. I suppose Deputy Cyril
look,
told
look,
you...
Look, give the child her ticket back, Trevag. You don't need the 75 credits. If you're wrong, you might be able to catch the telly before she lifts off.
We'll see, Baloo.
What an oaf. Look at him sitting there with his boots on the desk drinking a fizzy. Vulgarian. Boor. Why must he watch everything I do? You'd think he suspects me of working for the Rebellion. Yes, the schedule for the Tell of Our Lady. Lift off at 1400. Captain Fane is always punctual. Doesn't give me much time to drink from the beauty that is Night Lily. I'm feeling a little peckish. I think I'll just have to take it easy getting to the spaceport. It'll be too bad if I miss the Tell of Our Lady's liftoff, but sometimes these things can't be helped.
Trevag, you're a hunter. You ever hear of the Force?
No.
It's supposed to be some kind of magic field. The old Jedi was supposed to have it. I've heard rumors the Jedi have been seen on Tatooine. Well, you know about the Jedi.
Oh, space, he knows. That Imperial communique on the wall behind him says it all. 50,000 credits for any members of the so-called Jedi Knights. 10,000 credits for information leading to a Jedi's capture. The reward goes to anyone whose job isn't to capture or inform, which puts me out. All I'll get is my salary and a nice letter of commendation from the local Moff. Oh, I must waste no time in contacting Vegnu again. Let's see how to handle this. Feign complete ignorance, of course.
I wondered if you'd run across anything strange.
Only what Pilocam serves at that stand of his.
I've had a watch on Pilocam's stand. Something tells me that's the one place a Jedi might show up.
Someone's got to drink that herb tea. You'll pardon me, Baloo, but I have something to attend to.
I'll bet you do.
My exit was too hasty. Baloo's aura was raging red with suspicion. He'll have to be taken care of. Soon.
Captain Hustle. Tell me that the Tell of Our Lady hasn't taken off.
I'm afraid I can tell you no such thing, sir.
Oh, what a pity. There's a young female back at my office who's going to be most disappointed.
Somehow, that doesn't surprise me. But I'm sure you'll find a way to make it up to her.
my most sincere apologies to you, miss.
What? You couldn't do
Even it. Those with great power sometimes find themselves helpless in the face of circumstance. Captain Fane apparently decided to lift off early.
Oh.
The Telavar lady was already taking off from Docking Bay 9 by the time I got to the gate.
But couldn't they have been contacted before?
I assure you, I did all I could. Captain Fane did not respond to my calls, thus necessitating the trip to the docking bay. But there was an altercation between a Jawa and a pack of Deveronians on the way, and I was detained.
No, what am I to do? How will I ever get to see Kona, much less get back home?
I'll do my best to book you passage on another ship, Miss Oneth. May I call you Night Lily?
Of course you may, sir, but what
Just if... leave yourself in my hands, my dear, and you won't be disappointed. I've keyed in requests to the departing passenger liners, but it will be several hours before any of them respond. In the meantime, I'd like to take you to lunch to help ease your stress.
My sir.
Feltapern, my dear, please.
Feltapern? You're so kind. My mother will be so grateful. We're all about you. It's all so bizarre. There are so many creatures I've never seen.
Yes, well, Mos Eisley is one of the wonders of this sector.
We have very few visitors on Hinamenthi.
Well, I'm sure that is their loss if every woman on the planet is as beautiful as you.
I'm not so beautiful.
Oh, but you are. Push off. We don't want any. How could you know what your beauty compares to when you've seen so little of what the galaxy has to offer?
I think you're flattering me, sir. I mean, Feltapern.
Oh, no, my dear. It's the straightforward, unvarnished fact. You should know this by now. When I tell you something, you can trust me completely.
Ah, yes. Assessor Trevor.
Many people in this crowd seem to know you. You must be very important.
Well, I am a tax assessor, after all. The authority my office affords me seems like power to those of lower stations. That power awes some and intoxicates others.
I can understand that.
What, the respect or the intoxication?
Both, perhaps.
Here we are. You will accept some refreshment, I hope.
The Court of the Fountain. What a pretty name.
The inside is even more lovely, just as your personal loveliness outshines that of your name, my beauteous Night Lily.
Oh, Feltapern, look at this place. I've never seen anything like it. They don't have restaurants like this.
Ah, the scene of some of my most poignant triumphs. So reassuring to know I can always impress the females with a high-class restaurant. At least it's the closest you can come to one in Mos Eisley. The garish decor always seems to make the little nerflets melt. Blistine water fountains and neurogem tiles. Oh yes, so tasteful. Seems like they've done the trick with this live one. Now for the next step in the seduction.
Oh, enchanting. I love the falling water.
The tall one in the center is a wishing fountain. Tourists throw credit chips into it and make wishes.
Do they come true?
Depends on how much they throw in. My dear, in Mos Eisley, anything can be bought with enough credits. If you could look inside the carved Kelzan monsters that face the fountain, you'd see surveillance receptors.
For the wishes?
Oh, no, my dear. It's to keep the Jawas and street criminals from raiding the fountain of its credits. On Mos Eisley, water itself is precious. And the fountain also needs protection from the flask thieves, who eke out a living for themselves by pilfering the precious liquid.
I would never have found this place on my own.
That is true, my dear. This restaurant is known only to a few cognoscenti. Ah. My dear, this is just one of a great many things I could show you. Some of them are even more interesting.
Good day, Assessor Trevag. May I show you to your favorite table?
Of course. Menus won't be necessary. I'll order for my young friend here.
Feltapern, I can only eat fruits and vegetables.
Why, my dear, you are full of surprises. You are not carnivorous?
I shall be at some point, but not as yet. It is a custom of my people that we may not eat of any creature until... Ooh! After we have first... Ooh! Made it. Ooh!
Well, then, tell Porcellus to serve up his best dish of greens and fruits.
Very well, Assessor Trevag.
And I mean his best, only the best for my little innocent flower. I believe I'll have the fillet...
Night Lily's unwitting revelation of her inexperience makes me all the more ravenous, and not simply for Porcellus's excellent cuisine. Oh, she hooned so softly when she admitted her womanhood had not been taken. The enchanting white veils with which she swathed could not cover the blush that rose in her horns.
Your wine, sir.
Ah, yes, an excellent vintage. It's a favorite of the Emperor's. Here's to turning dire straits into serendipity, my dear.
No, I hope so, sir. Felt pretty. you're right about the wine.
Well, we have a whole bottle to drink, so let's get busy. Oh, why don't you start by telling me about yourself, my dear?
Not much to tell, really. I'm almost done with school and I'm empty.
What then?
I'm not sure.
Well, take some advice from an older friend. One's natural inclinations can lead one to the appropriate course of action. Take myself, for instance. Now, you might think that as a tax assessor, my job is rather dull, but almost meaningless. Oh. On the contrary...
The foolish thing's enraptured by my deep concern for her well-being. With every moment, she seems more simple-minded and more achingly arousing.
Your meal, sir. Miss...
Oh, that looks delicious.
I knew you would not be disappointed.
The wine has loosened her only slightly. She's devouring the food as if she were indeed a carnivore, and a hungry one at that.
Don't you think Porcellus has outdone himself this time?
Oh, yes, all my favorites. The panaberries and honey, puptons and dried magicots and sibara, baked filibar with savory cream... And this dessert, what is it?
Porcellus' famous bread pudding.
It's delicious.
Wait a moment.
Ooh,
ooh. Oh, you had a spot of cream on your delicate lips.
Thank you.
Assessor Trevag, did you and your lovely companion enjoy the meal?
Ah, Porcellus, yes indeed. Superb, as always.
The food was exquisite.
Oh, why, thank you, madam. I live to serve.
Porcellus is the best cook on Tatooine.
Oh, you are much too kind, sir.
He was brought here by Jabba the Hutt, a local businessman of great repute. Most of the time, Porcellus cooks for Jabba and his court, but when he is free, he creates his delights here.
Oh, I must return. Return to the kitchens before your praise overcooks my ego. Please do come again.
Thank you, Porcellus. We may indeed do that. I have a feeling that this charming blossom and I will be spending much time together.
Well then, good day.
Does he create food such as this for Jabba?
No. Trust me when I say that you and Jabba have very different tastes. Jabba is definitely a flesh eater.
No, I shall be too, once I have made it. Perhaps our tastes will be closer then.
Somehow I doubt it. Have another glass, my darling.
Why, we've drunk the whole bottle. It must be expensive. How can I ever repay this kindness?
Nothing is too expensive for you, beautiful one, or too good. Don't you understand that fate brought us together?
You think so? Really?
Yes, my dear. Fate, in the form of a stupid ruling by a venal official.
I took her velvety hand in mine, feeling the knots on her three-fingered hands swell at my touch.
Don't you understand what I feel for you? What I felt for you the moment I entered the office, the moment I heard your voice?
Oh,
my darling Night Lily.
Oh,
beautiful,
the creature is sensuality incarnate. Look at that knife-pointed tongue flick across her lips to catch a crumb of bread pudding, the muscles that attach it to her triple cheekbones rippling. Oh, there's real power in that silver serpent of a tongue.
Night Lily, may I touch...
Her dainty face looks even more impossibly fragile, cradled in my clawed hand. Ah, yes, I sense in her the ultimate prey, the most beautiful of conquests to be vanquished. And I can feel in her aura that her timidity is giving way to a glowing excitement in her heart.
Don't you understand that I need you?
Are you proposing marriage? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
My lips on her face. She's stupid as a brick. I'll have her in bed before the day is through. But first,
back to the office to arrange for her transportation off-planet. I don't want this semi-sentient alien bimbo hanging around thinking I'll marry her after I get her between the sheets.
Marriage, my dear? Well, in a sense, yes. A union of body and soul.
Oh, Feldeper.